Good evening. This is Don Stone, pastor of the Helotes Independent Baptist Church, and I'm here to share the Word of God with you today, and I do trust that I can be a blessing and a help to you as I bring the message that the Lord has given. I want to speak to you today on the subject of what are you trusting? We'll find our text in the book of Psalms, Psalm 20, and the entire Psalm, or verses 1 through 9 of Psalm 20. As well. Now let me read for you from the book of Psalms, Psalm 20. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Grant thee according to thine own heart. Fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners, and the Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. And, of course, I remind you again of our subject of this particular message. What are you trusting? In verse 7, we're asked some trust in chariots and some in horses. We will trust or remember the name of the Lord our God. What are you trusting today? We would pose this question to you, and we'll try to show you some things that folks trust and then the one to really trust. We are coming up, of course, on Easter Sunday, and it's important that we remind you of a risen Lord, and that's the one we want to trust. But I'll deal with that subject a little bit more completely in the following portion of this message. First of all, we'll notice that some folks trust in things that are not really of quality or that which it needs to be. Some trust in their own provision, or, as in our text, some trust in chariots. And we know that a chariot is a mechanical piece of equipment that men have put forth their hand and made the chariot, and therefore some folks are trusting in their own provision. They're trusting their own might. Certainly self is a very fragile trust today, realizing that the Bible indicts us as all guilty of sin, that there is none righteous, no, not one, and yet we are willing to stake our eternity upon the ability of our own hand and her own arm. Some trust in conquest, of course, in that sense of the word, that they're going to be able to just storm heaven and persuade God that they ought to be accepted in and are to be accepted in. And so they're trusting things of their own provision. For example, there is the church that has become a prominent trust. There is a distinction between a proper trust and an improper trust as far as the church is concerned. Those who will trust in a church, I should say, are those that believe in basically an institutional salvation. That salvation has been vested in that church or that particular organization, and that's the one you have to belong to for there to be any validity to your claim of salvation. But I want you to know that salvation is not vested in the church, but rather in Jesus Christ, God's Son. This is life eternal, our Lord said, that they may know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, that does not mean that Helotes Independent Baptist Church, as a church, does not feel that it is important. The truth of the matter is that God has chosen to work through local assemblies such as ours in this day, and that's the only way that he's really going to work today is through the church that Jesus Christ built. But folks are trusting in a church, and they're embracing the idea of an institutional salvation. But that's not the case. We are entrusted as a church with the message of salvation and are responsible to deliver the message of a crucified Christ, a risen Lord, and one who will come again to receive unto himself all of those that are his. And certainly we look forward to his coming. But folks trust in the church today, and then they trust religion. Now, there's a difference in religions, regardless of whether we want to believe that or not. There is a massive difference in religions today. And one can deliver, the other cannot deliver. I present to you the fact that a lot of folks are trusting in some particular doctrine or dogma that might very well be the imagination of man. Certainly, Paul warned about a last day when there would be a seducing spirit and doctrine of devils that would abound. And it would come across our land and across the world. And it would affect folks that trust in religion. And then they trust in their own self-righteousness as though they were able to attain. But the Bible indictment is all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. And in New Testament declaration, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So some trust in their own provision or the chariots. Then some trust in others' provisions, the horses. Again, the dogmas of tradition that have been passed down from generation to generation. You might be surprised today to find out how many folks are trusting in some particular basic dogma, and they have ultimately in their minds placed upon the same level with the Word of God, the doctrines or the traditions of man. In fact, the Lord warned and rebuked a group that he said, you have made of none effect the Word of God by your traditions. You have just totally abandoned that which is truth. And then certain doctrines that have been advocated. Now, there is biblical doctrine, and then there is traditional doctrine that has been passed down. So some are trusting the provision of others. Some are trusting in particular priesthoods. There is one priesthood that you want to trust in today, and that is the one that has been given our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has the power of an endless life, is after the similitude of Melchizedek's priesthood. And I present to you that you might trust in the priesthood of man, but it'll not suffice. And then others turn to the sacraments that are listed in their particular dogma or doctrine. But the psalmist said, remember the name of the Lord. There's a person of the Lord and that name. There's only one. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. This one whom we are to trust today was a humble person. Our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, and he was submissive to the will of the Father. He was a determined person in that he had determined that he would go to Calvary's cross and there die in the place of sinners. For the Son of Man, Luke said in 19:10, is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now the place of the name that we're to trust in today, it's above every name. It's a name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And the power of that name is to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth, to make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And the final point I want to make this morning as we finish up this particular message for you. Trust the risen Lord. Certainly, this is a truth that we need to embrace today, for the Bible said this, our salvation is contingent on this very fact. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in thine heart God has raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote back to that church and was instructing them and correcting them, he said, "There's a gospel that I preached unto you that you need to keep in memory." He said, "If you forget it, you turn from it, then there'll be no salvation. But it is a saving gospel that I preached to you." And the message of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians was how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. And Paul said that this gospel will save to the uttermost. If you're trusting the risen Lord today, and our Lord did leave witness of the fact that he was risen again. In this chapter, if we were to read on through it, we'd find out that there is a sufficient number of witnesses that would bear witness to the truth of the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, the Apostle Paul will debate this issue. If Christ be not risen, there are certain things that would not occur, and one of them is that we'd not be saved. For the Bible tells us that our faith is vain if Jesus Christ is not risen again. But the angel said to the women that came early to the tomb, and they found that tomb open and an angel inside, and he said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen, as he said." So if we trust the risen Christ, it gives validity to our faith and saves our soul. Not only that, but it'll give validity to our preaching. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 14 tells us that if Christ is not risen, our preaching is vain. In other words, it's empty, it's nothing, unless Jesus Christ is alive today. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ is alive today, therefore we preach with full authority of a risen Lord, offering you the opportunity of salvation. And I appeal to you in that precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you that are listening to me today, that you might turn in faith to Jesus Christ and trust him. He gives assurance of acceptance. And we're told we would not be saved if Christ be not risen. We preach not a risen Lord. Even though we might say that if Jesus Christ did not arise from the dead. And then, of course, the dead are not perished. Because Jesus Christ is alive, he will raise those that are his at his coming. Well, it's been good to be with you today, Bob.